Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been. And many of those who sleep shall awake. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, the place was Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. It was packed with over 60,000 fanatic Badger football fans as they watched the visiting Michigan Spartans spank them. It seemed strange that although the score was mounting against the Badgers, the cheers of the people in the crowd still were bursting forth in joy. For the casual bystanders, you think they're a little bit off their rocker. After all, your team is getting beat. What do you have to cheer for? But here's the story. It turns out that 70 miles away from Madison, Wisconsin, there was a stadium where the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the World Series. And whenever events on the baseball field were unfolding to their joy, the crowd would yell in spite of what was going on in the field in front of them. In a lot of ways, it reminds me of our earthly life. See, the reality is, it's a great description because you and I live in lives that often are filled with horrible circumstances. Things that are painful, situations in life that are difficult. But yet, even in the midst of that, we break forth in cheer. Because we know that in spite of what's right before our eyes, that we have the victory in Christ right now. But as the sermon title says, but not yet. Now you'll notice that we have another service next week, the final Sunday in this church year. And these last few services before Advent, the readings all kind of focus towards the last day, the end times. That day when Christ will raise those who are dead in the earth. And the words of Daniel are some of the few references to the resurrection found in the Old Testament. But Daniel says that they will shine like the brightness of the sky above those who are raised from the earthly dirt. What is a beautiful encouragement is the picture that Daniel paints, because it's spoken in a time when the nation of Israel was being pummeled. They were held in Babylonian captivity against their will in a foreign land away from the synagogue in Jerusalem. It couldn't have been any worse. But the words of Daniel are a great encouragement to them, because it showed that in the end, the victory would be theirs. The defeat of their enemy was coming. And happy days are here again. Now look at your own life. How does this apply to you? See, the reality is it also gives you and I hope and salvation in the world today, because you and I are the people of God, the nation of Israel today. See, through the water of your baptism, you are a part of the family of God, but yet you are still somewhat held in captivity to sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that old nature, that old Adam that dwells within each and every one of us, that seems so often to overpower us, and at times it seems insurmountable, we, like them, look forward to the last day and the victory that is promised by God to those who believe. But like the Israelites, who are still on that journey to the promised land, so are you and me. But you see, the journey that you and I take to the promised land takes us smack dab to the valley of the shadow of death, to that new heaven and the new earth of the world to come. And at times it's painful. This earthly pilgrimage is filled with troubles and hardships and sorrows. And I wish I could tell you that it would be easy, but it's not. But you see, the reality is this earthly pilgrimage, although it's not without its trouble, Daniel refers to the life as a battle. See, the church militant, the church on earth, constantly wages war against the devil and all of his foe. And for each and every one of us, the battle is within, against the old sinful Adam that lives within us, that continues to seek to cause us to stumble and fall. The New Testament also speaks of this Christian life as a battle. In fact, we're reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're also reminded that the devil, our enemy, our adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, to take advantage of us, to cause us to stumble and fall. But yet, we are called by God's word to stand firm, even in the midst of the devil's wily schemes. See, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refers to the Christian life as a race. That being said, this race course takes us right through the valley of the shadow of death. And that finish line you cross is the reception of that crown of glory, eternal life with Him forever in heaven. But the thing that's really befuddling is the fact that this race we live through life isn't like the good life halvesy that they ran a few weeks ago. That the majority of the race is downhill. The race you live in Christ, the run you are on today, is not a short sprint, but it is a marathon. And it's completely uphill. Every single step of the way is difficult, fraught with all kinds of pitfalls. But you see, although like the Israelites of old, you and I have been released from, they have been released from captivity. Their captivity, of course, was in Egypt ultimately. In their captivity, God defeated their enemies in the water of the Red Sea as they passed through on dry ground, killing the entire Egyptian army in the wake. In the same way that you and I pass through the water of holy baptism, where God defeats our enemy. See, that was a cool thing about Hayes' baptism this morning. Although our earthly eyes don't see it, Satan took one right in the kisser this morning. Because God, He's smiling. God yanked him right out of the jaws of death and defeat and ushered him into the family of God. But along this wilderness path of the Israelites, they never went right to the promised land. Of course, because of their sin, they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. In the same way that you and I are in the wilderness right now, as we pass through the water of baptism, we don't enter eternal life that day in physical form, but we spend a lifetime walking through the valley of the shadow of death, each and every one of us, until ultimately cross death's sullen stream and we enter into paradise, life with Him forever. But my point is simply this: you are redeemed by Christ's blood, but you're not home yet. You know, throughout my pastoral ministry, I've had the privilege of ministering to many World War II veterans. And one of them at my former parish at Pilger had the name of Irvin Raby. And Irvin was a veteran of the Battle of the Bulge. And he says, after the Battle of the Bulge was over, the war was pretty much winding down. Victory had been assured for the Allies, but it wasn't over yet. And these troops were called together into an auditorium where a chaplain came in to speak with them. And the chaplain walked in and walked up on the stage and didn't go directly to the mic. He simply wandered back and forth across the stage, time and time and time again, simply saying the words, "Home." And when he finally got to the microphone, he looked at the servicemen and women that were in that auditorium that day and says, "You're not home yet." My dear friends in Christ, you and I are not home yet. See, just like Hayes, who has been washed by the water of holy baptism this morning and then ushered into the family of God, so have you been. In fact, many of you have stood before this very altar and made that bold confession of faith, "I would rather suffer all, even death, rather than to fall away from this church." And the reality is, you entered into a life that is fraught with challenges day by day. And you have quickly discovered that the life you live in Christ is not a life that's a sprint, but it truly is a marathon to which we need great encouragement. I love the hymn that Vic picked for today, for our sermon hymn, because verse 5 really says it to me. "My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sins was smitten. Within the book of life I know my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, that Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation." That's where you are through faith in Christ, and that's exactly where Hayes was ushered in this morning within our presence. But the challenge I have for you this morning is to remain vigilant. The devil always seeks to destroy you. As you make your way through this valley of the shadow of death, remain vigilant, because every single one of us have those weak points where Satan seeks to destroy us. Places where we are most vulnerable. Places where we are most likely to fall. I ask you this morning, what is your Achilles heel? Where does Satan seek to destroy you? I challenge you to remain vigilant. But more importantly, I want you to remain assured. Assured that you are in the hands of a Heavenly Father who protects you by the service of the angel He has provided specifically for you. And as we draw to the end of this church year, may God's angels protect you in your journey. May God's angels watch over you as you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And may God's angels ultimately usher you home to be with Him forever. Reminds me of Luther's prayer. The verse, the part that says, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." And surely he doesn't. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.